Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're recording, we're live. Welcome back. This one is for the free feed on Patreon. And you know what? I'm probably going to put it up on Spotify and iTunes. So I know there's a lot of you out there that don't subscribe. Consider it. So tonight, we're going to do like my little Thanksgiving weekend recap. And then I'm going to solo get into topics 41 through 60. If you're not subscribed, you might consider it. I'm going to gently urge you to, because I had best friends of the pod, Heather Jewett, to do topics 1 through 20, and best friend of the pod, Alexis Page, to do 21 through 40, or whatever the fuck. Guys, the math. Great episodes. They're popping off in the likes department, the comments department on Patreon. People are simply loving them. So consider it. I know times are tough, especially during the holiday season. Sure, you spent all your money on, like, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals. We're in the booth. So what the booth is a rectangular cube that I put on my desk that is pitch black, except for my MacBook Air light. And I'm doing things differently. I wrote all my notes on a very large piece of paper, very small. And I'm realizing now that I kind of can't read them. I literally can't fucking read them at all. I think I can kind of. I have to like maybe angle them. But I think it's fine. I might have to put like a ring light on. Oh my God. I have to like get a ring light. I'm not even recording video. I'm going to put the ring light on. I can't see anything in the fucking pitch black darkness. Okay, hold on. Pause for... No, I have to get a ring light. I can't even see anything. 1 second. Ding. Okay, I have the ring light. Everything's fine. I can see my notes. So let's just get into it. Thanksgiving weekend. I will just say overall, I had a very great Thanksgiving. I don't want to rub it in. I know that, like, the holidays are tough. I've had so many horrible holidays. When I think about the holidays, I think about myself living in Bushwick and going to, like, Taco Bell or McDonald's alone, mostly. I don't think, like, warm, you know, it's not, it's either, like, it's just bad, mostly. That's just my tea. So I had a very nice Thanksgiving this year. And you know what? God forbid. I have something nice happening. Sam McInnes and his boyfriend, Michael, hosted some people in Connecticut for, I was there for like 3 nights. We just kept like extending it and like, we were just like dipping and doing it. It was very fun. Before I went up to his house, I went to visit my mom last week and I think I talked about it. I went to an antique store in Owego, New York. And the goal was to buy a small gift for Sam and Michael. So Sam, like his dad, like painted like wooden ducks and stuff. And I was like, and he has like little kind of like Animalia figurinas, you know, whatever, all over the house. And I was like, let me get him like another little kind of like tchotchke. And I find this like little tiny painted wooden duck. It's like, you know, maybe like 4 inches long. It's tiny. It's $20. So I'm like, that's kind of a lot, but it's like, also it's like, it's $20. Like what do you get for $20? You get a wooden duck. That's tiny. That's what you get. And maybe like a Subway sandwich with like bacon, honestly, you know, not much else. So me, Jamie Simone, Jacob and Nick, all drive up to Connecticut. I'm dropping Nick off in Kent. So his friend from like the Hudson Valley can like pick him up. Cause he's like, the train is sold out. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe the train sold out. But he's talking about the Amtrak. And then I don't think he knows like the Metro North, like a different thing that he could have like done. Nick Jacola, fan favorite, hasn't been on in a while. He'll be back soon. Maybe he'll do the interview. Okay. Anyways, we drive up. This drive should be 2 hours on the dot, basically. It took 3 because there were like 3 different accidents on our way up where like single file traffic. It was a nightmare. It's also kind of like, what can you do? Who really cares? So we roll into town Wednesday night, go to Sam and Michael's, and then it's cocktail. Well, it's called Gay Guy cocktail hour at Caitlin Phillips' house. She lives down the road from Sam. I'm not going to give the locations away too much. We'll just say like northwest corner of Connecticut. Very beautiful part of the country. Rivers, streams, mountains. It's very pristine. People don't litter. Okay. Anyways, and it's not like that pretentious. It's like, yeah, well, I'll get to it later. So, you know, it's like fireplaces. It's like me, Alexis, Natasha. Who are the other ladies? Jamie. And then like gay guys. Those are like straight couples. It's fine. So it wasn't like gay guy. It was fine. Historical home built in like the 1700s, you know, wide plank floors. We're dipping and doing it in like a fucking different era. It's like the Revolutionary fucking War. It just feels like I love history. I don't know enough about any era of American history. I just like know when something's old and preserved, I think it's great because that's like how, you know, people should operate. We should be preserving, we should be building with like natural materials and like preserving them. So I'm like, this is great. So anyways, we go back to Sam's house. I think we might have played Trivial Pursuit. Trivial Pursuit's going to play a big... I hadn't played it in, like, years and years. But, like, we kind of just, like, started doing it. And, like, now we're, like, Trivial Pursuit heads. Okay, this is not that interesting. So, wake up. It's Thanksgiving morning. Michael Laundress and Sam are, like, dipping and doing the kitchen. They're like, you know, they're, you know, dinner time is 2 p.m., which I respect so much. Like, don't like eat. You can't have Thanksgiving dinner while the sun's going down. You need to eat while it's bright out. That's my firm belief. And I honor them for respecting this. Michael has this like tradition where he watches like every single episode of the Gossip Girl Thanksgiving episodes every Thanksgiving morning. So I kind of like woke up. I was a bit hungover. I had a lot of wine. And so, but like I caught like, you know, a bunch of them and we're just kind of standing on the kitchen island. We're watching the episodes. We're even going further than like this Thanksgiving episode. We're like, well, this Thanksgiving episode was so good. Like, let's watch the one after that. And then like, then we'll like, you know, continue on with the other Thanksgiving, you know, series, et cetera. I cannot get into like the Gossip Girl wormhole because like, we'll be here all night, but like, it felt really great to watch the Gossip Girl Thanksgiving episodes. I did miss the Jason Derulo one. I just missed it, but then like the other ones are great too. It's a really good communal show to put on because everyone's like, people from like all walks of life are just kind of like, what? Yeah, it's, you know, it's an expensive show. It's in New York City. It's you know, Blake Lively is kind of a terrible actress. Blair Waldorf, played by Leighton Meester, she's kind of like the only one on the show that's like good at all. And like, she kind of like runs laps around fucking everyone. Okay, moving on. So we have dinner. It's the classics. It's probably the best turkey I've ever had in my entire fucking life. It was juicy. And I was concerned because like the night before, Sam was like, I'm doing a dry rub and it's going to be dry in the fridge. And I'm like, oh my God, dry. I hear the word dry and I get concerned because I'm like, people... I think like straight guys love to be like, we're brining it for like 48 hours, like putting the turkey in like a fucking bucket. We're soaking it up. What I've heard, you know, in recent, you know, days, I'm like, it's like the fat from the turkey needs to be cooked properly. And that's what makes it juicy. Soaking it in like fucking water that's going to burn off. It's actually going to dry it out even more. So whatever Sam and Michael did, I'll have to ask them, you know, reach out to me and I'll get the recipe. It was the juiciest turkey I've ever had in my entire life. Absolutely fantastic. It was, you know, we had the classic dishes. We had the mashed potatoes, the gravy, the stuffing, the cranberries, the string beans. Me and Natasha Stagg made crescent rolls, like the little Pillsbury Doughboy, you know, like, we did that. We were like perforating the fucking little triangles. We were rolling them up, making them a little crescent shape. It was so fun. It was so cute. I'm like, that's what I can do. Because like the initial invite was like an email thing and it was like, you know, Sam subscribing, like people like, okay, like this group of people like make like, you know, like a dessert or like something and, you know, maybe like someone bring like a side maybe or something. And it was like, Dan, like just bring wine. Like we know you can't do shit. And I was like, period, bitch. Like, I'll bring 4 bottles of wine. I can absolutely handle that. So anyway, so that is what had happened. I brought a lot of wine. And I'm going to be fully honest with you guys. After Thanksgiving dinner, we went on a waterfall walk. Again, not to dock location. We drive to a waterfall and there's a trail that goes up the waterfall. We kind of like get our, you know, little stepianas in and walk down. I'm like, okay, let's go home. Let's play Trivial Pursuit. Okay. I keep, you know, drinking. I keep eating. We play Trivial Pursuit. It is tense. You know, I think that it seemed like the cards were stacked against other people more than others. It, of course, doesn't make sense. It couldn't possibly be, but some people had a lot more easy answers than others. It's like some people had like $200 Jeopardy questions. Some had like $2,000 and I was the $2,000. I'm like, I couldn't fucking get anything right. It was crazy. You know, I did end up choking on a piece of turkey late at night because I do have this Sutton Strack like narrow esophagus thing. I'm self-diagnosing, but I know this to be true. If I eat bread too quickly, I will like choke and almost faint. So I have to be very careful. So everyone went to bed. I'm like, okay, let me go in the bag of turkey, grab a piece of turkey, eat it. And I just like was like sneaking around. So I was like, let me eat like a big piece really quickly. Don't know why I had to do that. So I ate the big piece of turkey. It gets lodged in my throat. And I'm like, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, I can't swallow this. And I'm like, it has to come up. But I'm like, I could try to swallow, but I'm like, I actually can't. I'm drinking water. I'm like, it's not going down. So I just end up throwing up a little bit. I was kind of like a, and I'm like, okay, great. I did throw up. Then I threw up more. And I was like, okay, it's actually kind of great to throw up. it's kind of great to throw up Thanksgiving dinner. And it wasn't even like that. I mean, I did eat a lot, but like wasn't too much. I actually, because the food was like very healthy and gorgeous. It wasn't like me eating like a double Whopper meal. It was much better. So I didn't feel like I had to throw it up. It did just kind of end up that I threw up, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. And no one was awake, so no one even knew. Of course, I told everyone the minute I woke up, I'm like, did you guys hear me throw up last night? And they're like, no, what the fuck is wrong with you? Okay. Anyways, oh my God, we have just so much Connecticut stuff. We're not even like, oh shit. This is going to be a long one. This is going to be a very, very long episode. Anyways, wake up the next day. Hangover on fleek. So Jacob has to go back to the city. Me and Jamie decide we're going to stay. We're going to stay for another night. So Jamie comes with me. We drive Jacob back to the Harlem Valley Wingdale stop. About a 25-minute drive. And after we drop Jacob off, I'm like, Jamie, should we go to the Sharon Bargain Barn where they have lots of fashion deals? And she's like, of course. So we go. It's another like 35 minutes. It's kind of long, actually. I'm like, really? Everything's like kind of half an hour. We didn't find anything good. You know, the posh section is like a piece of paper, computer paper stapled to a wall with like Comic Sans font. It says posh. It's like brands you've heard of and they overcharge and it's kind of gratuitous and random and it's not even that good. So it's weird. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you can get a deal there. Sometimes you don't. It is a definition of hit or miss. Mostly miss, but sometimes you get a little hit where I got like one of my favorite polo shirts ever for 99 cents. I got my Ferrari hat. A blue and red hat with like gorgeous Ferrari embroidered font, 99 cents. So like I've gotten deals totaling like $2. So clock that type of tea. Anywho, so we drive back to Sam's house and I'm realizing like, okay, it is my mom's birthday. I know the last episode I talked about how I got her like this, you know, beautiful, gorgeous stained glass lamp for her bedroom. Her birthday is the 28th and it's like 12:30 in the afternoon. And so at this point, like we get back, me and Jamie get back and I'm like, okay, like, oh, I need to take a nap. I need to lay down. I'm so fucking hungover. Like I drank like, you know, fucking 10 glasses of wine. It was Thanksgiving. I threw up in the same. So, you know, I gotta lay down a little bit. Not like reaching out to your mother before noon on her birthday when she's in her late 70s is kind of incomprehensible and rude. So I'm like, but like, I get so scared and nervous just like for anything. So like my, you know, anxiety peaks. I'm like, oh my God. Anyway, so I call my mom. We talk. It's fine. It's all good. But then I'm like, okay, I do have like a quarter of a Xanax in my bag. And I'm like, I'm going to take that. And I did. And I took a nap for a few hours. I wake up. And then it's time to do this like crazy event called like Wine Tasting Smackdown in Lakeville, Connecticut. It was like a friend of Michael's, Lakeville, Connecticut. It was dark. I couldn't see anything. It seemed like a very nice town. So what had happened was this family has, people over every year. And what you do is every single individual person brings a bottle of wine. You put it down, it's labeled with your name, or it's anonymous, but like it's categorized. It's a wine tasting. The goal is to like find the best tasting wine of whatever anyone brought. So there were 26 people participating in this event. The man of the home, forget his name, but you know, had a little a little Excel sheet going on, and it's not his first rodeo. This is not his first rodeo. Also, like, everyone gets a commemorative like wine glass that's like engraved like Wine Smackdown 2025. It's a beautiful. I was like honored to be there. Very honored to be there. So, you know, my wine I bought from a packaging store in Connecticut. Like, it's like there's just like rural shit. It's like, okay, it's like kind of like a liquor store, cigarettes, and like UPS or the mail, USPS, and a gas station. So I go in there, I'm like, let me just like get like a $25 bottle of wine from 2016. I'm like, it's old, it must be good. It's like a French red. I don't know if it's like a Bordeaux or fucking whatever. I drink so much wine. You think I know more? I don't really care. It's all like pretty good. So we're at the party. Everyone's just kind of like different rooms. I'm like, how are we gonna like taste all these wines? We all have our own glass. What happens is like these teen boys, although I say one of them had tattoos. So I'm like, he might be like 21. It's giving like Stranger Things, kind of like they grew up too fast, but like, I don't know. It's also giving like Roman like towel boys. So we're in this like big kind of like classic Connecticut home. It's not like super like, you know, pretentious or luxurious, but it's like definitely a home you'd want to own. You know, the street is like, you know, littered with like Volvo and Porsche SUVs. It's like, great, you know, I'd kill to live there, any day, especially like now. The teen boys are coming around, and I had tried 26 wines. You would think I'd be like wasted. Honestly, I was like barely buzzed. They'd give like a little splash, a tiny glass, tiny splash. And like there was one teen who was like a pink polo. Like the rest of the teens were like kind of like edgy alternative. And there was like one teen wearing a pink like salmon colored polo, like blonde blue eyes. And he was like definitely like giving like too young to be a Republican, but he like was. And I'm like, okay, wait like 20 years and then it's fine. But like you can't be like 14 and like, I mean, you can't be a Republican at 14. It's like fucking retarded. And you'd be like, I'm not getting into it. He was spilling wine over everyone on their pants on the couch. I'm like, babe, you need to calm down. You can't be pouring wine like this. But it was like the tiniest little splash, little sliver. It was not even like a full sip. It was like a little, like little taste. So yeah, I tried 26 wines. Mine came in 12th. Jamie's came in 11th. And then, which is talking like, I mean, we both pick good wines. Me and Jamie, you know, we're Italian, kind of. Well, she is. I'm like honorary and my last name is. Sam and Michael, they had good wines too. They came in like second to last and like third to last place. I could not even believe it. Shocking. Quite frankly, shocking, because like I love both their wines. I'm like, wait, interesting. Like, I don't really understand. It's just like people's tastes are different. That's all. People's tastes are just different. Okay, there's like so much more to this night. So I ran into a gay guy, Peter, who's like, you know, very gay, mesh, top, beard, tattoos, has his pit bull with him. You know, he watches my Instagram stories. You see him at Metropolitan, the gay bar. I'm like, wait, what? Like, someone wearing all black at this event is like crazy because it's so preppy. And I'm like, Peter? I was like, what? I'm like, oh my God, hi. It was like really, I was like, oh, it's like nice to, because I didn't know what I was getting into. And I was like, kind of, you know, it's like a family. It seems like a very like cozy, intimate, like no one's, everyone's on the guest list. It's like, there's not random people showing up at someone's house. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm cool now. I feel cool now. But then this other gay, gay couple showed up, not to point it out, but they were interracial. There was a white man and a black man. The white man was way more drunk than the black man and being very annoying. I don't know. So like the girl that like Michael knew that was why I was invited, they show up. They're suddenly like in the kitchen or living room. And he's like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, hey, who do you know here? Like, oh my God. I like witnessed what my worst nightmare would be, is like showing up to someone's home and being like, hey, who do you know here? I think it ended up being fine. He was like, oh, I know, like blah, 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 blah. And it worked out. It wasn't that terrible. I'm just kind of amping it up, but it like was kind of like, it was a tense situation for like a second. I'll be honest. It was kind of like, uh-oh, he might be starting. He might absolutely be starting. Also the power went out. So we had to like light everything by candlelights for like an hour and a half, and then like having the teens pour the wine in my cup under a candlelight. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is like, we're back to like the Roman or Greek times. Again, Rome is in Italy, Greek is in Greece is in God. Here we go. But like, they seem like the same fucking thing. You know what I mean? It's like ancient fucking whatever. The men had the towel boys. I'm not risking my life for a teen. I don't even want teens. I don't want teens, guys. Please. Don't even think like that. Okay. Anyway, we go home. Drive home. We play Trivial Pursuit again. I lose again. Sam and Michael do great. And like, I did watch them open the board game in front of my eyes, but I'm like, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, maybe they've been studying these cards. They're like getting the easiest questions forever. Kind of pissing me off. It's fine. I'll let him have it. I don't like to lose, in case you can probably tell. Scrabble is my thing. I be winning Scrabble constantly. Okay. So the last chapter of the Connecticut weekend was we did a two-car solution. Michael and his friend, I believe Taryn, drove to Salisbury, Connecticut to the White Hart Inn, H-A-R-T-I-N-N. And then me and Jamie drove separately because we're going to drive back to the city after that. This is like 30 minutes north, and I kind of wish I'd like thought about it better because I'm like, I'm driving. Ugh, it's adding a lot of time to the trip. It's fine, ultimately. But there's like this artisan market, and I like artisans. I love markets, and I like Connecticut now. I'm getting very acclimated. I'm dipping it and doing it in different corners. I'm telling you guys about it. I should be keeping this stuff secret, although it's actually not secret. Just like, oh, your like family is from New York City and they're rich and their second home is like up there, then you know. However, I had no idea until now is how people lived. Because homes weren't that expensive. It's like a $300,000 home now. It's like $2.8 million. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay. But like, I mean, I can't even. I'm 37. I have a roommate. So you don't understand. Yeah, you know, I know you get it. So we drive up to the White Hart Inn. It's a very beautiful inn in like a kind of like, it's like not even a town square. It's like, you know, like there's like a one kind of like stoplight town and like the road kind of forks off and there's like one thing in the middle. That thing in the middle is the White Hart Inn. It was easy to find parking. There's like a big like radio station fundraiser thing happening. You walk in, you know, there's a big front porch. You know, it's like very painted white, you know, rocking chair, shutters, big thing. But not too big, reasonably sized. You walk in, it's kind of, it smells like fire. It's like a fireplace. It's like, it's like cozy. You're like, ugh, I can relax. Off to the right, there's like a little side, kind of like a library where there's like a live, like, local radio station doing a fundraiser for the radio station. There's like an old man who's like probably 78, big, you know, white mustache. He's playing a guitar, mandolin, it's like a, it looked like the Prince symbol kind of. He had like made his own instrument. It's like lots of strings. He's playing that. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So like you walk in the, you know, there's that, there's like, it is a hotel. It's like a functioning hotel. There's like hot young people like eating like little bites in like the lobby. Then off to the left, there's like a restaurant. Then off like further to the left, there's like a like takeout to go thing, which seems like a pretty central hub of the town. Off to the middle, then there's like this bar lounge area. And then off past that, that's where the artisan market is, where all these like old people are selling this shit that no one fucking wants. It's like, oh, you like a crocheted hat or like a beeswax candle that's shaped like a pine cone. It does smell like, you know, like tea tree oil, or it smells really good. And it's, you know, it's pleasant to mince around, look an old person in the eyes and be like, hello, how are you today? And they're like, good, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. Beautiful stuff. You know, it's like, that's the vibe. Okay. So like me and Jamie do that. We're just kind of like, okay, let's get the fuck out of here. We've kind of seen enough. I run into an old friend, Cecilia Corrigan. I hear her voice. She's like, Dan. I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh my God, Cecilia, I haven't seen you in like 10 years. And she's like, oh my God. It's like, wow. I'm like, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, like my family has we've had a home here forever. And I'm like, okay, there we go. I entered, you know, her brother is there. We'll get back to that in a second. And my friend Jamie's like, wait, I think I know this girl over there. And Cecilia's like, that's my cousin. And Jamie's like, wait, that girl is like my friend's roommate in LA. I used to like know her. Like, I don't know if I'm describing this properly. I ran into a friend from 10 years ago who was cousins with like Jamie's roommate's friend that they hung out with in LA like years ago. So it's like the four of us just suddenly like together. The girl's name is literally Louisiana. I'm like, hey, I'm Dan. She's like, my name's Louisiana. I'm like, okay, well, I think it is. I mean, it must be. I don't think it was a game. But I'm like, wait a minute. I've never been in this town. It's like so small. It's so crotchety. It's like old people. And then it's like the only young people all kind of know each other in like the most random fucking way as possible. It's crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Anyways, then I meet Cecilia's brother. I'm not going to say his name. I end up DMing Cecilia later. I'm like, yo, is your brother gay and single? And she's like, he's single, but he's not gay. And I was like, fuck, I'm doing weird shit now. And this is like, I'm completely sober. This is like 4 PM. I'm like, I am just trying it now. I'm just trying it. If I caught a vibe, by the way, I did catch a vibe. Cause like before I sent the message, me and Jamie were like, he was checking both of us out. I was like, Jamie, I think that guy, and she's like, yeah, he was checking me out. I'm like, no, but he's checking me. She's like, yeah, he was checking you out too. I'm like, he was checking us out. I'm like, God. He had a little earring, a little like, kind of like alligator fake, like skin hat. I'm like, this is so tacky and gay. I'm like, that's gay. Like a straight guy doesn't wear that. Actually, no, a straight guy does wear that apparently. And he seemed like a lovely man. I'm not trying to be a bitch. I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is happening on planet Earth anymore. I'm like, who's gay and who's not? Why? It's so hard. The little earring. My God. Let us have the fucking earring. We have to go back to like, you know, handkerchiefs or something now. God. Anyways, okay, that's enough. Now I'm going to get into like the, it's like 30 minutes. I have to get to the year in review. I have to get the year in review. Well, thank you for sticking with me. we've got, you know, topics 41 through 60, and I'm going to get through them now. So, ding. All right, topic number 41. Epstein files released? Question mark. They, like, weren't. This is in, like, early March of 2025. They weren't released. We're still talking about them to this day. Harkening back to every year in review episode I've done so far, like, there's so many kind of, like, teasers that happen where it's, like, this dropped. And then, like, you scour the corners of the internet. It's, like, wait, nothing actually happened. There'll be another topic on this list that is similar to this. Sound off in the comments if, like, you know, if what happened on the Epstein files. They weren't released, but they were, like, the news was, like, the Epstein files are getting released. That's why I wrote it down. Anyways, yeah, let's keep it moving to number 42. Anora sweeps at the Oscars. Anora, one of my favorite films from last year, this year, they won Best Picture, Best Actress, Mikey Madison, hello, Best Director, Original Screenplay, and Film Editing, all Sean Baker. So, I mean, clock that, T. I love this movie so much. It was filmed, you know, under $5 million, which is, like, pretty cheap these days. New York City, baby, hello. I was not expecting the movie to, like, rip my little heart out at the end. Maybe it's a little chaotic and drawn out at some parts. I will admit that. However, I didn't mind it whatsoever. I thought, yeah, Mikey Madison deserved that award so much. I loved her in Better Things. I've never seen a better, like, teen girl portrayal than Mikey Madison in Better Things, the Pamela Adlon FX show. Also, Pamela Adlon's daughter is, like, Tallulah in the new show I Love LA, which sucks dick in hell and is bad. Anyways, I think Anora is, like, a very realistic love story for our time, for, like, Gen Z's time, and, like, maybe it was a little ahead of its time. I think it's great, and a lot of people think I was just, like, vapid and annoying, which, you know, you're welcome to think that. You know, I'm a deeper thinker and feeler than that, and I didn't get that vibe. There were a lot of heartfelt moments throughout the film, and especially the last scene, which I will not spoil if you haven't seen it, but cried like a little baby. Cried like a little baby. It was all worth it. Anyways, topic number 43. Lady Gaga album Mayhem. I did talk about this extensively last episode, but I love it so much. I still listen to it. Probably my favorite Gaga album because I can listen to every single song. She's come into her own. It, like, makes me feel like there's hope for maturity and there's hope for, like, a future. She seems very succinct, and she made an album that she wanted to make, which is, like, to be performed in arenas. It's very loud. It's very boisterous. A lot of people think it's kind of annoying and pastiche. Get past it and just, like, let it... You're not going to let it wash over you, is the thing. You have to, like, let it into the bones. To let into your bones, because, like, when it came out, I was, like, you know, it was, like, cold, and I come home and I'm like, oh, I'm so cold, and I would, like, keep my headphones in, my phone in my pocket. I would come home and I would just, like, dance like an iPod commercial in my apartment to the entire album, and I'm like, this is a huge movement, like, the whole album's a movement, and it's, like, there's, it's just all bangers. So shout out Lady Gaga. I mean, she fucking tore it crazy. I do not stand for any of the haterade. Do not sound off in the comments if you don't like the album. You simply don't get it. And it's not hard to get. I mean, it's not hard to get. Okay, topic number 44. James Kennedy regrets posting photo with the Tate brothers. It's Andrew and what's his name? His name is like Tate. It's like it's like Tristan. Okay, so this is what I mean, the words in this page are so small. This is what James Kennedy said. So he posted a picture and then, you know, the internet went crazy. So he said, "I regret posting a photo with the Tate brothers at an event last night. I was unfamiliar with their content and the allegations against them. I only know them as podcasters who posted a viral clip about Vanderpump Rules. I have since educated myself and condemn their beliefs. I'm so sorry to all that I offended." Girl, whatever. Like, these are things that, like, you're not that, I guess, you know, I get it. You're a public person in a sense, but it's like, I think it's just like wash away if you don't even address it. Do I need to tell this story about how, like, a woman almost punched me in the face at a bar because she thought I was Andrew Tate 3 years ago? It's so funny. I was at Capri Social Club and I was ordering a beer and this woman is like standing next to me and she's like staring a hole in the side of my face. I'm like, I look over, I'm like, oh my God, what? Like, what is this? She was like furious. She was like fist balled up. I'm like, okay, hey, how y'all doing? She's like, you're Andrew Tate. I'm like, wait, what? I'm not Andrew Tate. My name's Dan. I had my tote bag monogram as a Dan. I'm like, my name's Dan. Also Andrew Tate is like in Romanian prison. She didn't believe me. It's like, you're Andrew Tate. It's like, yeah, okay, good. I'm not. So I get my beer and I'm like moving very slowly to not startle her. Cause she's like clearly deranged and on, I don't know what she was on. But yeah, you can always expect the unexpected in coastal Greenpoint. Next topic, number 45, Mahmoud Khalil. Detained. Mahmoud Khalil. You know what? I don't like this guy's face. And I don't like his demeanor. I'll be honest with you. Him being detained and, like, disappeared for months, I don't like that either. It's, like, very un-American, like, very bad. I hate that. Not good. However, there was, like, his face reminds me of, like, you know that, like, kind of classic gif or screenshot from Euphoria season like one or two where like Rue's sister like catches her doing drugs and she's like it's like almost like the bitter beer face. That's what Mahmoud's face always looked like to me. Here's my issue, because I do have an issue. His wife was 8 months pregnant. He like I guess went to Colombia at one point. In case you don't know who I'm talking about, he's like a pro-Palestinian activist. He was like really dipping and doing it on the campus. He's like my age. He's like a little old, even for a grad student. I'm like, you're a little old. He was taking the mic. He was doing all the, you know, all the, shouting and all the stuff. And I'm like, your wife is 8 months pregnant. Also, like when I looked at what his wife looked like, she seemed like really pale and like sickly and like quiet and like weird. I'm like, this relationship is like not something. The milk ain't clean. And you know what? You're more than welcome to be like, Dan, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm telling you, I will be vindicated eventually. Like something about this relationship is like very weird. She's 8 months pregnant. Okay. Here's the thing. This cause is like, there's a lot of people that are with it, in New York City. So I don't get why he had to like, if my intuition, which maybe I don't even have one as a gay guy. However, if I had an 8 month pregnant wife at home and I was out there like going to like a college I wouldn't even like go to anymore, I would like just pass the microphone to someone else that like would say the same things that I said. Like there's plenty of people that would do that. There are plenty of people that do that. I don't trust his motives. So I'm not saying he should be disappeared. I don't think his wife should have like given birth without knowing where like her husband was, but she, I'm telling you, just like Google, it's like there's something weird about these people. There's something very weird. If you think they're heroes, that's fine. I'm not trying to like yuck your yum. I'm just saying we'll circle back in a few months or years and like I guarantee you some shit will come out. I'm never wrong about this shit. Something is very strange. Just, you know, based on like body language, facial language, like the whole, it's like, I don't even, it's not what he was saying that was wrong. I just like don't, there's a mistrust that I have with, I can't get into it. We have so many more topics. Okay. Number 46. Wendy Williams throws note from window. So she's like trapped in like a luxury like elder care unit in Manhattan. She threw a note down that said, "Help!" exclamation mark, Wendy, 2 exclamation marks. Yeah, I mean like Wendy, I mean, it seems like that's probably the best place she should be. She would just like drink herself to death otherwise. But like, honestly, like that's her maybe God-given American right to do so. I don't know. Sound off in the comments. Like, what do you think? I mean, I'm kind of like in between. I'm like, well, her family. Okay, but her family's like fucked up. Even her son, like the good Kevin, not the bad Kevin. Bad Kevin, her original husband. Good Kevin, her son. Good Kevin, like, is taking her for a financial ride too. So like, people are like, God, it's so sad. It's so bleak. Wendy is like one of my favorite figures in like American culture, society ever. She's a voice, like one of the top voices. I, you know, love and cherish her so much. I can go on and on and on. But she was a danger to herself, but also like when she's in that place, the, you know, elder care, her family's still taking advantage of her. I don't know what to do. Again, sound off the comments if you know what to do. Moving on. Number 47, Cromwell Hotel in Las Vegas to become the Vanderpump Hotel. I'll be honest, don't really know why I even bothered transcribing it. I really don't care. Happy for Lisa Vanderpump, etc. But like, whatever. Topic number 48, Demna named creative director at Gucci. All right, so he's not Balenciaga anymore. I don't remember any of the Gucci stuff being that memorable. And I Googled a lot of these topics. It's one I didn't bother Googling because I'm like, well, it'll come to me. But it didn't. Like, nothing came to me. And I'm like, ugh, you know, whatever. Also, like, people have, you know, not every season's going to be a rest season. Clearly, Demna is very talented and driven. So I don't want to, like, knock him, but. You know, I'm like, I don't remember this. And like, we remember like, you know, I think Gucci had a big moment, you know, with Alessandro Michele or whatever. And it was just like tacky cardigans with like snakes and like ropes and stuff and, you know, bags. I mean, it really did like make an imprint. I don't think that like Demna did that at Gucci to my knowledge. Topic number 49, this is also fashion related. Donatella Versace resigns. Good for her. I mean, retire, bitch. Like, just have a fabulous lifestyle. Don't work anymore. Some people love to work. I mean, like, I guess I can't really understand that. But, you know, like, people like to work. Until they keep busy and they like to be successful and make money. That's great. However, Donatella is like, she's Donatella Versace, purple heart emoji. She's Donatella Versace. And I don't know what prompted her to do this, to retire or resign, but good for her. I'm like, good. Just get out. Just like live your life. I mean, I don't know how old she is. But like after like, honestly, I'm 37. I'm like, after like 55, like, I feel like you just drop dead at any moment. So like, if you're rich and you don't have to worry about like money, I think you just vacation for the rest of your fucking life. Like, duh. Like, duh. Okay, next up. Number 50. Poppers crackdown. So what happened was, like, the FDA raided, like, one manufacturer. That was ostensibly, like, an RFK Jr. directive. Listen, I love the guy. I'll go to bat for RFK Jr., all day, every day. I can explain, you know, all this, all that, because, like, he's hot. Like, I think he's, like, probably mostly on the right side of history. But then, like, sometimes these random things pop up where I'm like, well, I mean, like, the poppers, I mean, I don't know, they're bad. I feel like there's times where I've, like, almost had an aneurysm and died. But the thing is, like, I don't think they, like, ever, like, they weren't banned. There was, so I did, like, a light Googling. There's a person in Buffalo, New York, of course, upstate Hive, you know, assemble, called the Popper King, which is the biggest online retail of poppers, who was not even contacted by the FDA. So, like, they're just still selling poppers. And, like, you go to the deli, they're still selling poppers. Like, nothing's changed. I think that, like, maybe what had happened was there was one manufacturer who was, like, I don't know, for some reason targeted by the FDA. Maybe they were, like, doing some weird shit, and things got spun to, you know, make RFK Jr. Perfect angel and hot guy who is, like, rugged and handsome and also, like, kind of, like, luxe and, like, has, you know, so much information on, like, American, like, government. He's too, you know, perfect man. Okay, anyways, I don't think it's another thing where it's, like, it wasn't even, like, a big deal. It seemed like it was, and, like, literally nothing happened. You know, the liberal media stands for absolutely nothing anymore. So they're going to crucify Trump for every possible thing in his regime. And they should, because that's what, like, the right would do to the left. It's like the fucking, it's just back and forth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But it's annoying and boring, and I don't think it's, like, nothing happened with poppers. Has, like, a gay guy in your life, sound off in the comments, has a gay guy in your life been like, I can't find poppers? No, they can. We can find poppers. They're everywhere. I can like, walk out my door. I can literally, like, probably not even pause the recording, walk out the door, go to the deli next door, get poppers, come back, and you'd be like, oh, he, like, maybe just, like, sneezed or something. He wasn't even gone for that long. They're everywhere. Okay. Number 51, stranded astronauts return to Earth after 9 months. Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore return to Earth after 9 months. I guess just, like, who knows what was going on. Something, again, in the middle game clean with this story. They were kind of, like, left up there forever and ever, and they came back, like, smiling, and I'm like, whoa. I'd be mad as fucking hell. I was, like, stuck up in, I don't even know what. So I did Google this, but I'm like, I don't even, there's, like, too much information. Like, what the fuck? Oh, hold on. Okay, I'm going to read the AI overview, by the way, of topic coming up down the pipeline. The AI overview is, like, completely wrong. It's, like, shocking. Like, you wouldn't even believe how wrong it is. So, but I'm going to read it anyways. NASA astronauts Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore returned to Earth on March 18th, 2025, after a 9-month mission to the International Space Station that was delayed due to issues with the Boeing Starliner capsule they launched in. The pair's original week-long test flight turned into a much longer stay because the Starliner capsule had technical problems, forcing NASA to return it to Earth empty and wait for a different spacecraft to bring the astronauts home. All right. Well, whatever you say, bitch. I don't know. They seemed in too good of spirits. Maybe they're, like, fucking and sucking up there. That's the only explanation I have why they were, like, I mean, I guess they were just happy to be on Earth. Like, they were happy to be back on fucking solid ground. But I don't know, they, like, sue, do they get money, do they get something? I don't know. Sound off the comments if you know. All right, next up, number 52, kind of related somewhat, Number 52, JFK files released? Question mark. Again, were they? We don't know. Like, it was like the JFK files are released now, Mama. But Mama, we didn't get any information. we didn't get it. But this is like the news. I'm just reporting how like it was presented to me and us. The JFK files were like released allegedly. However, we didn't learn anything. I don't think the grassy knoll, the shooters, the one shot, like what had happened? We don't know. We still don't know. But this is like a common theme of this year. It coincides with like, again, a rise in AI and like Twitter being monetized. A lot of fucking bullshit. You want to talk about fake news? This year was just fucking fake and I'll say it, random. And I'll take it one step further and I'll say it was a little annoying as well. Because nothing seems real anymore. We're floating around like we're the fucking, you know, Sunni and Butch up in outer space for 9 months. That's how I feel. I don't feel tethered to reality. We're losing it completely. Oh, Lord Almighty. Let's get to the next topic. I can't do this. Number 53. This is a high note. This might be my favorite topic of the year. Number 53. White Lotus brother incest hand job. All right. Again, highlight of the year. I thought this was the best season of White Lotus. Maybe by far. A lot of people were complaining it was like kind of too slow and it was like a slow burn. Okay, cool. Happy you think that. You're welcome to think that. Compared to the other seasons, like, is it better than like a kind of like frenetic, annoying, like vacation, like, you know, things happening all the time? And I felt like when I was watching this show, I kind of felt like I was on vacation with them in Thailand. Like I felt like it was like you really like it resonated deeply. You were like in it. You were in that place. You were with the characters so deeply. Our patience is very thin. So I understand why people have these like kind of knee jerk reactions. Like, it's boring. It's long. Ah, what? Nothing's happening. Like, everything's happening. Think about, like, life. Think about, like, cameras. Think about the production of the show. Like, everything is happening for you. To eat it up, it was so luscious. It was so kind of, like, balmy. And, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's son and, like, some twink, you know, kind of, like, took Molly and, like, the twink jerked the brother off. The power dynamics is, like, it's so ancient. It's so, there's a mystique to this season that I feel like will stand the test of time, like, immensely. And, like, it was also just, like, shocking and funny and, like, hot. Shocking, funny, hot. You could jerk off to it. You could laugh at it. You could be like, oh my God, what? Like, and maybe you could do all three at once. You could laugh, be shocked, and touch on yourself watching the scene, which, like, maybe I was doing. It was kind of a buildup. You kind of knew something was going to happen. It was shout out Mike White. Love you, Mike. Gotta keep it moving, though. Topic number 54, George Foreman, rest in peace. George Foreman, you know, a boxer, he died at the age of 76. No official cause, given, but you know, we had the George Foreman grill in my home growing up. My mother seemed to love it, grilling the burgers. It was like a grill that was the size of like, I don't know, like a waffle maker, but like bigger, but like we didn't have room for appliance. Our kitchen was like tiny as fuck. There was not room for an appliance. But like people made room for the George Foreman grill because it's like it drained the grease and the fat and the nastiness you could come on the George Foreman grill mad as hell and just like make your family healthy as fuck, because it was just like on a little angle and it came with a little tiny, looked like a little butter dish that all the grease drained off, and then you dumped it out. You dumped it out. Like Sydney Sweeney's been doing recently. And you're like, well, we're healthy now. Which, like, honestly, like, that does seem like we should bring it back. I mean, like, sound off the comments, you want to make a grill with me. Sonia Morgan should make a grill. Sonia Morgan grill, toaster. There should be a whole contraption. Oh, Lord. But, yeah, I mean, like, the George Foreman grill seemed, like, kind of gimmicky, but, like, it really wasn't. It was, like, a fixture of my home for, like, years and years and years. Mother was using the George Foreman grill. She loved the George Foreman grill. Burgers, again, whatever. It just, it, the grease, it there was a grease trap. A grease trap. Okay? Do you understand the words that come out? It was a grease trap. And it's simple, it was effective, and, like, again, like, scientists in the comments sound off. Like, I think that probably works and makes sense. Drain the grease. Drain the swamp. Well, that kind of curtails nicely into our next topic. Number 55, war plan group chat leak. This was like Peter Hegseth and J.D. Vance on the ABC News website now looking it up. They like accidentally texted a guy, like an Atlantic reporter on Signal, the app Signal. Let me see like what they had been saying. It's like really hard to get information. Like it just really is. Who is trying to entrap or trick me? Somebody identified as Pete. Seeing the events, sure enough, or what? Yeah. The attack seemed to be going well. That day, I realized it was possibly unbelievable. Leaders of the United States discussing my messaging app. I don't really. There's like this is like broken down day by day, and it's like there's so much information. I almost beg you to do your own research on this topic because, like, it was just like, guys, it was boys being boys, you know, I don't know what the fuck, this is like the world we live in now. I'm not condoning it. I don't think it's like cool or great. It's just like, that's how things fucking happen. I was like, our leaders are on like Slack or the fuck or Signal being like, should we bomb like so-and-so? And it's like, I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I don't. Oh, that's so sad. I need my piece of paper. Can you hear the piece of paper? We have a few more topics left. Okay, number 56. Yolanda Saldivar denied parole. This one that shot Selena. You know, it's probably for the best. If she was, like, out in the public, like, she's gonna get murked. Like, someone's gonna fucking kill her. Like, sorry, the piece of paper. I'm kind of rallying around now because I think it's, like, maybe kind of ASMR. The piece of paper. Yeah, she's not getting out of prison. She killed a, like, deity, basically. She's not getting out of jail. That's fine. I think that's fine. Again, she's going to, like, if she got out, someone would kill her. One of you probably would. And I'd be like, well, I don't know. They had their reasons, etc. Let's move on. Number topic. Topic number 57. It's actually no laughing matter. Myanmar and Thailand, 7.7 earthquake. Big earthquake. Not a lot of people talked about this. I did Google like the death count and it is absolutely staggering. And I'm going to read the numbers. So buckle up. 5,352 people died in Myanmar. 103 people died in Thailand. And one person in Vietnam died after the aftershock. Curious about that. 5,352 people dying in a natural disaster is absolutely brutal. It's brutal. It's horrible. I mean, that's so, that's like, you know, everything comes back to 9/11 for me, but that's like more than people died in 9/11, but didn't, like, it signified less because it's like a natural disaster. However, thousands of people died in a natural disaster, and it's, you know, just a very sad event. My heart goes out to all the victims and their families and friends. I mean, at the Dial Down podcast, you know, what do I say? Do I have a link to like a relief? I don't know. We're over it already. I mean, we don't care. We don't care as in America. It's like Myanmar. We don't even know where that is. Do I know where that is? Can I put it? Can I find Myanmar on a map? Is it Myanmar? Well, it's next to Thailand. I can probably find Thailand on a map. Oh boy. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's just sad. We got to move on. Topic number 58, the emancipation of Brooke Hogan. Brooke Hogan is like, I actually hate my dad and my mom. Like, I hate them both. I'm like not fucking with my mom or dad. Even though like they separated and like they were divorced, like she's like, my dad sucked and my mom was like really shitty too. A topic that will come up in a later episode is like Hulk Hogan died this year too. So, you know, that's really neither here nor there. But Brooke, I always had a fondness for Brooke Hogan. She was like very tall. She had a song with, was it like Paul Wall? Hold on. Let me get my phone. Yep, I was right. It was the Paul Wall. I'm going to play a little bit for you. It's called About Us, Brooke Hogan featuring Paul Wall. Boys talking down on the sidelines, watching, wishing they was playing the game we playing, but it's all good, though. Paul Wall, Brooke, what up, baby? Okay, we got it. You know, I love this song when it came out. So we had back in the day, the early aughts, it was like white girl and like black guy rapper ostensibly being like, I'm going to piss off my dad. Then we had, you know, of course, like single artists. And then now it's like K-pop. All the songs that sound the same. Used to be like Brooke Hogan, Willa Ford, etc. Now it's just like K-pop, girl groups. I mean, we had Danny Kane and others, but like now it's just like a strange. I mean, I guess this that like Brooke Hogan song is, there's not a lot of heart and soul in it either. So maybe I shouldn't crucify K-pop too much. I just don't like that it's imported. I like a homegrown soulless adventure. Oh, God almighty. Cat's Eye is still, I mean, that show on Netflix I reviewed recently, that was 2 years ago, they're everywhere now. They're on, like, commercials for, like, mac and cheese or some shit I saw. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's, like, that is like the Backstreet Boys or like NSYNC or Destiny's Child, TLC. It's just like an amalgamation of like horrific. It's like just noise in like every genre you can imagine. It wasn't, you know, there's a lot of artistry going into it from the individuals in the group. And maybe it never was. However, it did feel like it. At least they made you feel like it was. Not like a dummy, but God, there's just, oh boy, it's bad. Okay, we got to move on. We have only two more topics left. Okay, number 59. Morgan Wallen skips SNL cast hugs. So he was like the performer, And normally, you know, the credits roll and then like the performer like hugs everyone and hangs out, and Morgan Wallen was just like kind of like spazzing out and just like ran off the stage. I don't know why. I'm sure he was felt uncomfortable. I think he should have probably still hugged the people, stuck around, but I don't know what happened. Maybe he just like didn't even know. Part of me thinks like maybe he didn't even know that's what you do. I'm sure someone maybe told him. Maybe someone told him. I don't know. Was it a big deal? He just seemed like he's like, oh, I did my job. I sang the song. The show's over. Bye. You know, he just like, you know, probably wanted to like, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, he probably wanted to like go drink more in his dressing room and like party with like his friends and not like hang out and like hug like fuck random comedians that like don't like him. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. It was a huge moment though. People like really trying to like dissect it, etc. I mean, here I am now months later doing the same thing. That, you know, wish him the best, wish everyone the best. We have one more topic left, number 60. I find when I say the number 60, it, where anyone does, it's always like 60 or 16, 16. Guys, it's 60 right now. 60, Val Kilmer, RIP. Rest in peace, Val Kilmer. Something really interesting happened when I Googled Val Kilmer's death today. The AI overview said, let me get my piece of paper out. Hold on. The AI said, he is still alive. PBS is reporting and ABC are reporting that Val Kilmer is still alive. The AI overview said Val Kilmer is still alive with links to PBS and ABC. So I clicked on the PBS link that the AI overview provided, where it said, like, he is still alive and PBS says so. The PBS link said, Val Kilmer dead at 65 from pneumonia. I was like, oh my God, the AI overview is like so fucking wrong. It's so wrong. And it linked like another news. It was like ABC too. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how does it even happen? He's dead. The man is dead. He's not alive. It's not like an Elvis like or Area 51 thing. Val Kilmer is fucking dead. He died of pneumonia at the age of 65, which is very young. He, I don't know, 65, I thought maybe he'd be older. Well, no, maybe 65 is appropriate, but like, he was diagnosed in 2014 with throat cancer and he kind of lost his voice. There's a documentary made about him by his son. I watched part of it and I was like, yeah, okay, great. Happy for everyone. Well, sadly he's dead now, but like, the AI overview thing is like really troubling me, where it's like you Google, like, I just Googled Val Kilmer death and it's like, he is still alive and PBS says so and ABC says so. And, you know, a lot of people just like take a glance and like, oh shit, like what? He's still alive. Never mind. He's still alive. He's not alive. He's dead. And you click the links and it's like, he's fucking dead. The man is dead. I don't know where that even comes from. It's very shocking and disturbing. It's very disturbing. I mean, it's like when someone's dead, you gotta let them rest. But AI overview will not let Val Kilmer rest. I mean, I just wanted to maybe pass it on to you. Love Val Kilmer, though. We love him. I mean, what's not to love? Guys, I don't know. What's not to love? I think he was in a Batman movie and other stuff. Such as, I'm going to try to think off the top of my head. Not Meet Joe Brown. He was like, was he in a movie? There was like, I feel like there were simultaneous movies where like Brad Pitt was like, either aging in reverse or blind or deaf. And then Val Kilmer was also like doing that too. We don't know. Sound off in the comments if you know. Oh, Lord Almighty. No, but seriously, R.I.P. Val Kilmer, very sad. Icon. We love Val. Well, okay. Okay, we only did 1 hour and 10. That's good. I really wanted to keep it tight. You know, the Connecticut stuff was, like, long, but, like, I wanted to give some minutia this evening. Wanted to give, like, a healthy dose of minutia. And, you know, it's really hard to argue that the topics weren't topicking tonight, mama. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, if you made it this far. Appreciate you so much. This is a very free episode. So if you like what you heard, please, for the love of God, go to the Patreon, subscribe. You can have access to like 350 plus episodes. And from the $10 tier, there's even more. So clock that type of tea. Love y'all so much. Talk to you soon. Good night. Bye.